All right, y'all. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 98. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. Back with another episode, y'all. I know it's been a few weeks since I dropped the podcast episode. You know, I've been doing lives, of course, with y'all, but been a couple weeks since I did one of these episodes. You know, just been kind of busy taking care of business and things like that. But y'all not been on the channel, of course. But speaking of the channel, done hit 1,000, y'all. Shout out to everybody that's been riding with me. We done made it to 1K, y'all. Look, just check it out there. Finally hit 1,000 subs, man. So, yeah, shout out to everybody that's been, you know, riding with me, tuning in. The same ones that's, you know, been with me from day one. Definitely, y'all. So, definitely going to do a 1K celebration live stream. You know, that's going to include all of y'all. You know, I can, you know, jump in and, you know, we can chop it up for a long live stream. You know, because I know TJ347 said we hit 1,000, got to do a long live stream. You know, we ain't doing no 6-hour. We might be on for a while just chopping it up, right? So, yeah, shout out to everybody that subscribed to the channel. Make sure y'all also subscribe to this show on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. And tuned in, just type in hashtag CB99Talks. Listen to this show on the go. So, yeah, man, I wanted to talk about a few different things today, and I just kind of want to mix it up. Of course, I do want to talk about the fights that took place this past weekend a little bit, but I got a few other topics I want to jump on, you know, because I got some questions about a few different things that's been talked about. You know, a couple of interviews been out, some of the big fighters been, you know, talking once again. So yeah, a few things here. So first, I just want to revisit the fights this past weekend, of course. You know, we can talk about some of the fighters, where they're headed from here. You know, I already broke fights down. I ain't going to do all that. But I just want to talk about where certain fighters are headed. And then I want to go into, well, I want to go back. I want to go back and revisit the Ultimate Fighter 30. You know, the Tough House. Tough 30. Did Tough 30 drop the ball this year? That's the question. Did they drop the ball on the promotion of the fighters in the house? And also the promotion of the main event between Juliana Pena and Amanda Nunes too. Did they drop the ball promoting that rematch? I got to know. No, that's a question that's been popping up in my mind over the past few weeks. I want to talk about it. I give y'all my thoughts. Yeah, I want to know your thoughts in the chat, of course. And then I want to revisit Rose Namajunas and her recent comments about Valentina Shevchenko. Potential fight between them. A lot of people been asking me about it again. I did a video, but I'll go a little bit more in on it because it comes down to how it was worded. You know, it really comes down to how it was worded. And yeah, I'll just hold off on that. So we're going to talk about that. And Tyler Santos. Got to talk about Tyler Santos and the team a little bit because, you know, this could hold up next time she makes a return to the cage, you know, because when you're dealing with money, family, contracts, it can lead to, it can go one way. It can either go a positive way. You and everybody is got their understanding. You know, everybody's got everything in writing, right? Or it can go the other way. Whenever everybody just thinks, okay, it's verbal agreement. We can trust this person. Or some people just don't hold true to their words, right? So we got to talk about that because I think that's a big part of the sport that needs to be talked about even over here. You know, just advice to anybody signing contracts, you know, fighters, you jump on here, if you tune in, y'all got to be wise about what you sign it, you know? So you just can't make excuses out of understanding the contract, right? But we'll get into that, all right? So yeah, man, like I said, I've been busy the past couple weekends, but it's been crazy, man. It's been crazy in the sport of MMA, man. I mean, last couple cards for the UFC, the fight night card's been crazy. Going back to August 6th, I mean, the Santos versus Hill card was crazy. You know, I got to give everybody a shout out on that one because that card was 100%, 100%. You know what I mean? All finishes. You know what I mean? 100%. We rarely get that. I mean, I think somebody in the chat said the last time we got a 100% card was back in 2014 or something like that, but like 8 years ago. That's crazy, man. But that's the thing, man. Everybody on this card was looking to finish. everybody on this card has a killer instinct. I mean, whether you're looking at Usman, Juju Miller, of course, Jamal Hill, he wants finishes, and you're looking at T-Rex. Shoot, Lipsky and Cachoeira were on this card, but it got pushed back. They were looking for a finish, right? Even Corey McKenna. You know, she was making her comeback. And Miranda Granger was making her comeback, you know. But Corey McKenna, you know, she's one of those fighters, like I said, still young, up and coming, but she wants to make a big statement. Then, of course, you know, Sam Alvey, I mean, you know what end he was going to be on. So it was like, okay, he's definitely going to contribute to somebody getting finished. And it was going to be him, right? So, yeah, man, I just had to go back and bring that card up because that's what I'm talking about, man. Like, this card and back in June, that Emmett Kattar card. Like, we got to have more cards like this, you know, to get people back into the sport for real. Like, they need to make more. They actually need to make more pay-per-views like this because these UFC Fight Night cards are putting the pay-per-views to shame. You know what I mean? I watched I supported the Pena Nunes 2 card. But this one here, shoot, with the performances and just the matchmaking and how everybody was fighting, they blew them out the water. I mean, I definitely wanted to see that main event, but this one, they blew them out the water, man. I mean, as a whole, I mean, Jamal Hill, Thiago Santos, this card was lit, right? Now, this past weekend, Vera Cruz, it wasn't bad, especially for WMA. It was a good card, good scraps, you know. Had some good up-and-comers. We had some veterans in the game, and let's talk about it. Of course, Angela Hill came in there and proved me wrong, like I always say. Prove me wrong, you're doing something right. You know, Angela Hill went in there and schooled Lupi Godinez. Not saying Lupi didn't have her moments, but Angela Hill looked like a totally different fighter. You know, she looked like she was really dedicated. You know, she looked like she was really dedicated to go in there and make a statement. And it's crazy because it was against somebody that is just as hungry, or maybe even hungry, we thought, right? Because Lupi, you know, she comes to fight, right? She may not have the highest IQ, but she's got two strong suits about her, you know, boxing and her wrestling. But in this fight, I think her IQ is exposed to a certain extent. I know her defense was. I know the defense was, because I did make that point that if she doesn't move her head, Angela Hill will paint her. If Angela Hill chooses to let her hands go. And Angela Hill did that, right? Angela Hill, I said, look, she's going to have to do two things. Become a point fighter like Chikagian, you know, just dust these fighters up with the hands, or look to finish. You know, she's going to have to look to finish, because if you look at her resume, there's a lot of fights that she's won, but they always rob her of it. They always robbed her of these split decisions. Now, Lemos wasn't one of them. I did think Lemos beat her or edged the fight out, but when you look at Claudia Gadelha, Michelle Waterson, some of those fights, those are ones that I'm like, yo, you know, she's got to go in there and try to finish. And, you know, she recently talked about it. You know, Angela Hill, on the UFC website, if you go to UFC.com, there was a little article here that said Angela Hill wants to be a finisher. And like I said, that's something that she needs to do. Be a point fighter, that master it, or be a finisher. You know, she said right here, let's see, I thought it was cool that Godinez was so game to do it on such short notice. I already knew she'd be down to fight any short notice. I always kept that in mind, that if I ever have an opponent pull out, Lupi might be calling. Okay. So she said, we just been grinding and getting up from the bottom. It's something I haven't had to worry about with my last fights. I usually able to scramble and do things on the bottom and get back to my feet when I need to. But in my Verna fight, I really got stuck. So ever since that, we came back and we're working right away. I learned a bunch of new little tricks, a bunch of new little things to do. And once that started working, I was like, okay, cool, I got this. They kind of called right when I was having those light bulbs and realizing that I wasn't ready for this type of fight. Okay. So right there, she brings up a good point, you know, about being trapped on her back. I mean, that's something that we always seen with her. You know, she's never really been good on the ground. And on her back is probably one of the worst positions we've seen her in, you know, especially in the Verna fight. You know, it was so easy for Verna to just take her down and lay there, you know. So I'm glad that they acknowledged that and they worked on it. Some fighters, they don't. So Angela Hill is showing that she does have an IQ. You know, she is showing that and she's ready to go back, correct some things. And sometimes it comes with age, you know. I know she's 37, but sometimes when you start looking back, you start getting tired of some of the things that you were doing before. You might say, oh, man, I'm tired of looking like this now. I'm tired of being the decision queen, you know, whether it's win or losing. You know, I can't continue to be on these split decision robberies or split decision losses, you know. But she said here, it's things in a different way. It's hard to accept, but at the same time, it makes me work harder to get those finishes. If I haven't had those split decisions, then when it counted, like if I were to fight Rose or Carla, and that was a split, I'd be a lot more heartbroken than if I'm fighting some girl who's ranked around the same number as me. But it really is worth anything but a win bonus. It's making me work through those things and get closer to being a finisher, so I won't have to rely on that in the future. Okay. And yeah, that's all I'm saying. Like, correct those things, you know, get better at turning your punches over, committing. And I think Angela Hill could do it, because right now Angela Hill's footwork and her feints on the level she's on, there should be no problem with her counter being a good counter puncher, just being a good pressure fighter at mid range. You know, there's no problem. I don't think there is. Right. So, yeah, shout out to Angela Hill. She got it done. You know, of course, it didn't fit, you know, not done. But, you know, she did 30-27, in my opinion. I know it was 29-28, but I thought she got 30-27. You know, she definitely showed a new level, how she could bounce back up. Her scramble game is good. Her ability to get takedowns, you know, she's working on that. Her clinch game is on point. And I know this is against lower level fighters, but let's see what she can do, right? Let's continue to see what she can do. Another fight on the card that, you know, I got to give props to both fighters. This should have been fight of the night, the strawweight fight between two newcomers, Yasmin Harigi and Yasmin Lucindo. These two, they already resigned. This wasn't a contender series, but they said, you know what? We are going to go in here and bang it out. We may have got the contract, but we want to get everybody on our side. We want the fans to remember us. And it was a good idea for them to put Yasmin and E-Yasmin on the main card. I was wondering myself at first. I was scratching my head. I said, you know what? Wonder why Lipsky Catchware is not higher. They were on the main card, but I was wondering why they weren't higher. And then I wondered about Hill and Loopy too. I was like, you know, Loopy's been around. Of course, Hill's been around. I was like, why are they not on the main card? But then, you know, of course, I've seen Yasmin fight plenty of times. I said, okay, I think I know what they're doing. She's young, undefeated. She's going to have a country behind her. They're going to try to build her up, right? And sure enough, she came in and performed. I think she's going to be staying on these main cards for a while now, you know, with the performances they put on. Yeah, it was definitely worth it. It was definitely worth the gamble to put two new heads on the main card, because Lucindo definitely won't want to take any credit from her, because I'm going to keep bringing this up. This girl made her debut at like 14 or 15 years old. You know, shoot, that's crazy, man. Y'all got to think about that. This young girl right here, Lucindo, was fighting professional at the age of 14 or 15. Ain't even high school, right? Well, that is high school age, right? That's like freshman year. Yeah. Fresh in high school. And that's what she's doing. You know, she's throwing hands, right? So she comes in this fight against Harigi, who everybody's hyping up, me included, because I know what she's capable of. And she's taking it to her. You know, she landed some bombs in this fight. She hurt Harigi a couple times. You know, she put the pressure on. She landed some good body kicks. She made Harigi have to fight. You know, she made Harigi have to look good in this one and stay on her game, you know? And she shows some holes in Harigi's game. You know, there's some things Harigi's going to have to work on. You know, have to, Rigi's going to have to work on her defense. Going to have to work on her discipline as far as not getting pulled in the slugfest like this. You know, fighting more off a jab. You know, being a little more patient, you know. So, yeah, this fight definitely opened up a lot of, I think, even the casual fans' eyes. That's why I say it was good. It was on the main card. Now, a lot of people that know not just MMA, they'll get to know some of these ladies and women's MMA. You know, what I'm talking about, these fans that just want to see, you know, the Marinos and so on like that, the men fights, the Cruz, the Fieras, all of that. You know, they're going to want to see women like this now, as long as they continue to put on bangers as well, you know, and put on excitement. So I think Harigi, man, she's on her way. Lucindo, they're going to get her back soon. She'll be back. I can see her coming back at least one more time this year, you know. Put her in there with Masvidal Ruiz. Put her in there with Kanako Murata. Hey, I'm watching Harigi versus Emily Ducote. Well, that might be too high a jump because Emily Ducote is ranked. But let's do Yasmin Harigi versus Demopoulos. You know, dangerous grappler. Let's see if she can keep it standing. Right? So, yeah, man, we had some good fights. Like I said, you know, I've been talking about Zombie Girl. Yeah, I mixed it up. Zombie Girl and Violence Queen. You know, I've been talking about that fight, you know, for what it was. Just posting up some things about it, but I've done enough talk on that. But yeah, Cachoeira, you know, she brought the action. Of course, sadly, Calvillo and Nina Azarov didn't. And it's good that Nina Nunes is calling it quits, because with that type of performance, I don't think she would survive at flyweight, right? But yeah, good weekend of fights. Hopefully we have another good weekend coming up. The last two were on point. You know, non-pay-per-views. Hey, pay-per-views need to step their game up. Matchmakers need to put it together like this, right? Well, it's all on the champions too. You know what I mean? Like, champions are always going to be on pay-per-view, so it's on them to come in there and supply the heat, right? So yeah, speaking of the flyweights, Tough House. Let's talk to Tough House. Let's talk Tough 30 a little bit here. Overall, y'all know I was excited about the Tough House coming together, you know, especially having heavyweights and women's flyweights. You know, I thought that was a good idea, you know, to bring in some more flyweights. And having Pena and Nunes as the coaches, I thought that was a good idea. Definitely, you know, coming off of Juliana's big upset win over Amanda Nunes, I was like, and they're the coaches? I was like, oh yeah, I'm tuning in, right? So yeah. So when the show premiered, you know, I was covering it. You know, I was covering the show. You know, I was backing it because, like I said, you know, I like to see these fighters tell their story. I like to see them grind. I like to see them work and, you know, keep it positive. But I also want the truth. I also want the real. You know, I want to hear about what's going on in the house. I want the tension. I want to know what type of beef is going on, because it still is entertainment, right? When it comes down to it, it's still entertainment. And that's what people want to see. Because there still is a good blend of entertainment and fighting when it comes to these Tough Houses, right? Like, you still want to see some type of interaction with fighters, like some type of, not controversy, but just little altercations here and there. Somebody having to confront somebody. That does make it exciting because it is a show. It still is a show. And people want to see that type of heat in the house. Now, we ain't got to go crazy throwing bottles and breaking chairs and breaking doors. But we can see a little bit of tension and understand where it's coming from, because I think they kind of messed up in some areas with that. That's why I asked that question. You know, did the Tough House or the UFC drop the ball on it this year? You know, and I had to say, yeah, because like I said, I was watching the show, covering it for like six episodes. And I watched all of them. But I was covering it on the channel. You know, I was doing videos on it, giving y'all reviews for like six episodes. But after the sixth episode, I was kind of like, you know what? It's kind of the same thing now. I don't really have the time to sit back and just tell you, oh, this is what this person said. They made weight. Boom, this is the fight, right? So after the sixth episode, I was kind of skipping through and watching the fights first. I was watching the fights first, then going back and looking at the fight, looking at the show, you know, because after I get off, I'd be, oh, man, like, I ain't got time to hear this. I want to get straight to the fight, you know, and that's crazy because we had, you know, a good squad in here as far as heavyweights and the women. And, you know, I think the women, like I said before, not all of them are going to be getting along in the house. So, you know, there was some tension in there. And according to Juju Miller and even Brogan, there was tension. They just didn't put it all out there, you know. And then, of course, you've got the coaches, the head coaches, Pena and Nunes, which six episodes deep, I was always telling y'all, okay, wait now. It's coming. It's coming. They're going to say something to each other. But the most we got was the two of these fighters trying to walk side by side down to Dana's office or the conference room, and Nunes just saying a few things, and Pena saying, oh, you got to keep up, girl. Like, that's the only thing we got. And maybe, like, one other moment towards the end of the show when they did the face-off, and that was it, you know. And I know for the most part, Juliana Pena wanted to devote her time to her team, and she didn't really want to waste her time doing that as far as, you know. Well, I think she did, because they did talk about some pranks they wanted to pull. You know, that was something she did bring up. I almost forgot. Yeah, like at her press conference, she did talk about wanting to do some pranks on Nunes. So she did kind of want to poke the bear. I wasn't going to say she didn't want to poke the bear, but yeah, Pena wanted to poke the bear, but they didn't want to do the pranks, which the bear thing and the lion thing, I think, yeah, that was kind of crazy, but maybe they could have had more run-ins together, or they could have done more competitions or more like closed in things where they would have to put them in the same room together, right? They should have did that. That's why I say, you know, my question to y'all is, did you think Tough House dropped the ball this year? I have to say, yeah, again, I say, yeah, because there was also opportunities to build up the fighters in the house. You know what I mean? You got two big divisions right now, two thriving divisions in the UFC. You know, you got the heavyweight division, where pretty much in any combat sport, the heavyweight division is always gold to people because, you know, somebody's always getting knocked out, right? So you got the heavyweight division. Of course, you got Usman's brother in the house, Muhammad Usman. Then you got the women's flyweight division, which is rising to a close second. It's right on the tail of strawweight division. The women's strawweight division, you know, is being built up. You got a lot of women that want to be at 125 now too, right? So you got two of the hottest divisions in the UFC. And they didn't really delve in too much. They really didn't like go into the house and capture some of these characters. You know, they didn't really go in here and touch on some of these personalities, because according to some of the fighters, there was drama in the house. Like I said, you don't have to go overboard, but these fighters, they do have to sell themselves to a certain extent. You know, they still have to push themselves. They have to promote themselves. So I think it's up to the cameraman, the editors, to still let some of this stuff be filmed and aired, you know? And yeah, especially again, like the women, yeah, they need promotion. Like, WMMA is still, I can't say it's like getting any higher, and like it's going to be as close to the men in the next couple years. I still don't think so. I still think it's far off, but yeah, the women do need that type of promotion because they just don't get fans like that, you know? So in this house, you had a lot of personalities that could have livened it up. You know, number one, yeah, I know a lot of people, either lover or hater, you know, Juju, you know, Juju, she is outgoing. You know, she's always going to speak her mind, but at the same time, she's scrappy. You know, she still likes to fight. So I think there's people like that that you have to push. And if there's somebody in there that has beef with her or they have an issue with her, we need to hear their voice as well. You know, we need to hear that as well, because there was a lot of moments in here where I think it was just kind of downplayed. You know, I think there was, they just kind of thought, okay, we're going to edit this out and we're going to move on. But they missed out. They missed out because there was a lot of questions in here. There was a lot of questions like, why was this being said? Why this person didn't like this, right? Because I think Juju, you know, she did what she was supposed to do. She did a good job just alone as promoting herself as much as she could. But as far as the other ladies going, like, what type of interactions were they having? Like, how did they really feel about the team? Like, with things Catherine Paprocki, like, I wanted to hear more about how she felt about her team. You know, as far as the training with Amanda Nunes, I want to hear more about that. Because they did let Lauren Murphy speak her mind like a couple of years ago when she was in the flyweight house, right? You know, when she wanted to switch teams, you know. And I can't, what is his name? What's the trainer's name that was training them? I can't remember. His name is escaping my mind, but like he kept calling Lauren Murphy the wrong name and she wanted to change teams. And you know, they were kind of going at it, you know, just like that. Like I wanted to really hear what was going on, even on that side. Like, how did they feel about Nunes' training? You know? So I think there was just a lot of opportunities missed where they really weren't. Well, they let the fighters tell their stories and where they're from, you know, where the background's from, what they did before they were fighters. Yeah. But when it came down to the interactions, you know, the stories in the house, they could have been built. Like, I already know Juju and Claire, they had a rivalry somewhat. But what about Brody? What about Caitlin Neal? Why was Caitlin Neal feeling certain sort of way towards Juju, right? Which brings me to the editing. You know, I think a lot of storylines went through the cracks here. You know, again, good job at bringing out the backstories, but the potential rivalries and the mini beefs and the disagreements, they weren't mentioned. They left a lot of things unexplained because, you know, again, like when Caitlin Neal lost to Juju, she was like, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I lost to somebody like her. So I'm like, where did that come from? I mean, that just kind of seemed off. Like, why would you say that about that person unless you had some kind of personal thing against them? Because she beat you because she was more dedicated and she improved as a fighter. Yeah. But I just want to know, why would you say that? Like, I wouldn't say that unless I really didn't like that person. So that's how I'm feeling. Like, did Caitlin Neal just dislike her? I guess so, but we'll never know why, right? I know they did some pranks in the house, like some silly string pranks, and, you know, I think Brogan got shot in the face with some silly string and she was pissed off, something like that, you know. But I don't think they really like went overboard. Like, I know, like I said, Pena, she wanted to, you know, the whole bear prank, like get Jackass, you know, get Johnny Knoxville or somebody in there. But yeah, they weren't rocking with that. But I thought there was other ways that could have built the tension up, you know, because like I said, it's still a show. It's still entertainment. You got to get the ratings up and you got to make people like these fighters. You know, you got to make people like these fighters. You got to build their fan bases, you know, just like any show, just like The Walking Dead or something, right? You got to have backstories. You got to have good editing and you got to make people like these characters, you know, so you have to give them the time and put the reel out there. Because, I mean, if you go back to even, like, the old shows, like Rampage and Rashad, you know, their beef. Or if you go back to the Tough House, the Strawweight Edition back in 2014, Heather Jo Clark and Beck, Rose and Randa, all these girls, they had their little beefs in the house. And it kind of helped with the show because it made you like them or dislike them, however they were, however they wanted it. Like Beck Rollins, she don't mind getting disliked, you know. And you got to have that balance, like and dislike. Builds your fan base, you know. So yeah, I just kind of think they did drop the ball on it, like I said, halfway through, because I wanted to see a little bit more tension. But even with the main event, they didn't really delve into Pena Nunes to me. Again, like I said, maybe it's because Nunes wanted to just focus on her own training and stay away, but I thought there could have been more interactions, even if they had to, like I said, write something in the show where they would have to be together more often to get them to talk. And like out, pranks aside, there should have been a way to get somebody to provoke somebody. You know what I mean? Just to make it a little bit more entertaining. Like I said, I'm not a fan of ignorance or a bunch of BS drama, but this is the fight game. And this is the UFC. And the UFC is entertainment. And we all know some fighters aren't going to like each other. You know, egos are going to clash. Personalities clash. And sometimes people just don't like each other. You know, and the fans, they'll relate to that. And, you know, they'll relate to that. And they'll want to tune in more because they'll want to see what happens next week. They're going to say, oh, are these two fighters going to really come to blows? Are they just going to wait till they get to the octagon? I can't wait. You know, they love that type of personality. Yeah, like I said, I had to stop reviewing after six episodes because, you know, yeah, it just got repetitive. And they just missed out, I think. They just missed out on some of those things. Yeah, even with the main event, like, you know, these two are women already, and they're going to be a main event on a pay-per-view. Oh, you got to do everything in your power to make people want to see these two. Because, like, we know Amanda's a good fighter. We know Juliana Pena's a good fighter. But to win over the male demographic in the UFC, you got to win them over. I mean, you got to make this like King Kong Godzilla. You know what I mean? You got to have one story here, their story, this story here, and then you got to make them collide. You know, you got to make them collide to make a super fight. That's what I'm saying. You really have to go to that limit or to that edge for the women, you know? So hopefully they do better moving forward, or they bring back some of the things like they used to. Because even like Juliana Pena said, she did say like some of the things were different. They were a little bit lenient this time and relaxed with certain things, like fighters listening to music now. I think that might have added to the effect before, like they couldn't listen to music. So yeah, it probably made them a little bit more tense and, you know, got them worked up more. But at the same time, they kept a lot of that stuff in the show. This time, it seems like they threw a lot of that drama and confrontation on the cutting room floor. And we needed some of that. We did, you know, because like I said, I'm a fan of a good drama now. Like, if you put it together right and you have a good rivalry going on, I like that, you know, because I know eventually it's going to come to blows in the cage where it needs to be. You know, I don't want them fighting outside of the cage, maybe a little shove here and there, but I know when it gets into the cage, it's going to be explosive, right? So, yeah, hopefully, like I said, they do better moving on in the future, because I do want to see them attack the strawweight division again to get some newcomers in, or I want to see them build an atomweight division, right? So, yeah, let me know in the comment section though what y'all think about the Tough House. Did they drop the ball? I think they did. All right, so let's move on. Next topic here. Like I said, I just want to go back over some things with this imaginary fight. That's what I'm going to call it now. Imaginary fight. Rose Namajunas the other day, like I said, she did an interview. And she didn't even bring it up. The interviewer worked his way around it. It worked his way into it about a potential fight with Valentina Shevchenko. And, you know, Rose entertained it in her own way, which I think any fighter would have that respects somebody of her caliber, you know, because Rose still knows her level. She knows her place and she knows Valentina's place, right? That's why she said that. I forget Amanda's a GOAT sometimes, because I think Valentina is that GOAT, right? So she's already telling you where she thinks she is. Rose never really considers herself that GOAT. She knows she's a Hall of Famer. I don't really hear a lot of people calling Rose the GOAT, even some of her Rose fans that come over here, some of the Rose simps that like to bug me. You know, they even know that she's not the GOAT, right? So when it comes down to it, it's just all in how interviews go, you know, like interviewers, how they want the interview to go. You know, they say the right things at the right time, or they know how to bait a fighter into even bringing the name up and even putting yourself in that position, even if it was an imaginary position, they know how to put themselves in that position when they bait them with the right questions to get everybody listening, get everybody talking. Yeah, we talking about it right now, right? But that's why I just want to go back on it. Like, when I did my video, my thoughts about Rose and Shevchenko, like I said, I don't like the fight, never thought of it, and I had to break it down to you why. Because as a hardcore fan, I'm going to do that. Some people might think it's a good fight, but I'm going to tell you why I don't think it is. Like, because I think there's just two different levels of discipline from these fighters that would just blow one out of the water. Because this one over here is just so solid and so consistent that there's no need to even think of these two can match up together. Even if this one fighter over here is a two-time champion, right? So, yeah, in that manner, yeah, I'm going to break fights down like that. You know, we'll talk about it, but it's like I do in boxing, you know, we talk about fighters all the time that never fought. And we do our little, you know, after workout talks, have a little disagreements, but that's how it goes. You know, that's how I address this one. Like, in no way do I entertain this thing and think it will happen eventually, because it's not. I know Rose did say she wants to put on muscle, wants to bulk up a little bit, but that's probably going to be for the strawweight division. I mean, when he heard that, he said, oh, this might be my chance to go into 125. And that's why she just said, you do the math, right? She just said, you do the math. And when she said, you do the math, she could just be saying, look at my frame. Even if I have muscle, I'm not going to 125, right? You know, so she's probably just saying, you do the math by looking at me physically and what she's capable of. Because I think that's all it is at the end of the day. You know, Rose probably just wants to put on a little bit more muscle, become stronger. You know, she looks at those fighters like Andrade and Zhang Weili and said, you know what? If I want to compete with these strawweights like Mackenzie Dern, Marina, I got to get stronger. You know, I got to put on more mass, right? That might be her mindset. But, of course, the name Shevchenko came up. And when you think about it, it's just one of them things, like I said, you know, it's one of those things that you just entertain and you just say, okay, I would do it for X amount of dollars, right? Because she brought up a lot of key factors in there. Like, well, first of all, I'll say this, like, listen to how she answered it versus somebody like Jessica Andrade. Like, Jessica Andrade, when she wanted to move up to 125, or even before she did, we knew she wanted to fight Valentina one day. You know, because she moves around a lot. You know how she moves. She'll answer it straight up, just say yes, right? With Rose, she threw the friendship out there. She threw the lucrative deal out there. She also said it would have to be game changing for me to want to step to her, right? That's a lot of respect right there. So it lets you know that if I got to step up to this level, it's got to make sense. And I'm going to put a high number on it, because even then I still wouldn't do it. It would just have to be something crazy. Like, me, tell me, you ask me, do I want to wrestle a gorilla? Yeah, hey, for $8 billion, it's got to be right, right? It's got to be right. $50 million, I might do it. Shoot, even then I would, right? So that's how she's answering it. Or if you go to boxing, like I made this example the other day. I said, like, back in the day, you know, Roy Jones, when he would have fought a heavyweight, prime Roy, he said, yeah, I'll fight Mike, I think, for like $20 million back then. You know, he had to make sure it was like a lucrative deal to step up to fight somebody that powerful and that monstrous, right? So, yeah, that's all it is, I think, when it comes down to it. She was just entertaining the question. It's not a fight we're ever going to see. It's a fight I don't want to see. And I just want to clear that up again with y'all, like, before y'all go too crazy on it and think that this thing's going to happen. Because I see some people out there making videos saying, oh, you know, Shevchenko Rose, it's going to happen. Bob, this date, 2023. Yeah, right. Get out of here. So, yeah, no, it ain't happening. That's why I use this picture, too, just so y'all can see, like, this is the type of work Shevchenko gives out to these fighters, right? Not saying Rose couldn't hang with it, because she does. You know, she didn't ever quit. But this is what you get when you get in there with the bullet. So you got to be ready on it. And she did say that I felt what she feels like in training. And that's just training, right? So imagine what the fight is like. So, yeah, not happening. Don't want it. You know, when you see these interviews, they just know how to talk. They just know how to open up. Some fighters, they know when it's coming. They know the old bait. You know, some of y'all like to bait me up in the chat sometime. Sometimes I take the bait. You know, sometimes I don't. I'm the same deal here, right? But yeah, man, that's really what it is on that situation. I just wanted to address that here real quick. But let's jump to this next topic here, y'all. Y'all, my thoughts on this one. My thoughts and final thoughts. So, Tyler Santos's team, you know, some members of her team, two former coaches and a manager, are claiming or accusing her that she hasn't paid them, right? I'll just kind of skim through the article here just in case y'all haven't heard. Let's see. Marcio Malco, he's helped coach Santos for three fights. I think that was a JoJo, Roxy, and Valentina fight. He's filed a lawsuit against Tyler Santos. He's asking for 20% of her purse, of her UFC 275 purse, which is $150,000 flat, and a $32,000 athlete outfitting policy. So 20% of that, he wants $36,000, $36,400. Then you also have her manager and coach, Marcelo Brigadiero. He claims Santos is not fulfilling her contract after parting ways with the gym over a year ago, including not paying his percentage for the same three fights. Then you have Patricio Farias, who is the brother of her husband. So that's her brother-in-law. Claims he was left with a debt over $2,000 after not fulfilling a verbal agreement. After they didn't fulfill the verbal agreement to train her after leaving Malco's team, right? So Farias, he was the jiu-jitsu, brown belt jiu-jitsu. He was a brown belt that was supposed to help build up a gym. He was going to work there, but apparently he didn't get along with the staff, so he left. And he wasn't even compensated for that because he was like an Uber driver at the time. So they tried to give him a job. But a lot of this was just verbal agreement. So he agreed to it, though. And, of course, coaches and managers, everything was in contract. But they're saying that she hasn't fulfilled that payment. And she's filing a counter lawsuit. You know, she also goes in and says she doesn't agree with that amount asked by the coach. She's claiming that they didn't even sign a contract and said it'll be proven in court. And she says all this is false accusations, right? So everybody can read through it. You know, y'all seen the link. I'll post it here for y'all later. But I just wanted to get my thoughts on this one, man, because like I said, I know it doesn't have anything to do with the actual fight. It's not how to throw a punch or how to take it a takedown. But this is a situation I think a lot of fighters, they need to be aware of, especially fighters overseas, even young fighters here that just want to get out of, you know, certain rough situations. Not even fighters, just like musicians as well. Like musicians, whatever you're working on, like as far as just per diem, freelancers, all of y'all, like before you do any work or you commit to anything with an organization, read that contract. That's what it is. Read the contract. Because, you know, one of the excuses Tyler Santos was making is that she didn't understand the contract. She didn't get a copy of it. She wasn't allowed to keep a copy. You know, so my thing is, you know, we're in a day and an age. We're in a day and age where we should be able to Google a lot of this stuff. Google has many different languages now. You translate whatever it is you need to know. You can get access to that easy, especially if you know this is something you really want to do. Like, I'm going to sign with this person that's going to guide me to the UFC. Well, let me do all the research I need. I got to make certain sacrifices, go all out, do all the research I need, because this is my time. But at the same time, I know there's a lot of people that want to have hands out, right? So you have to make sure you get an attorney or get somebody that's down with you that you can pay, a translator, somebody to cover you here and get all this legal stuff taken care of, you know? Even like now, like I've seen some people now just around the way here sign legal contracts, like independent artists sign contracts, and they'd be like, oh, this person didn't pay me, while, you know, they're not paying me enough, or they're not paying me this. I was like, what did it say in the contract? They'd be like, well, I didn't really read it. I just signed it. Well, that's your own fault. You know, that's your own fault. Take the days you need to read it. Take it to the attorney you need and let them read it for you, translate it for you. Because like I said, regardless of where you're from, how hard the life is, if somebody comes with you at a contract, you better say, okay, I got to get this to somebody before I sign my life away. I know life is rough, but life could be even rougher when you sign your soul away, right? At least where you at now, you can already be content where you at, right? But when somebody has your soul, hey, you don't call the shots anymore. And I'm not saying this is as deep as that, but it could be, right? Because she didn't read it. She said she couldn't even keep a copy of it. You're allowed to keep a copy of a contract. You know, so for Tyler, dealing with her managers moving forward from here, I just think that she needs to pay him. You know, that's from the outside looking in. You know, just cover that and move on from there. But even with like the brother-in-law situation, you know, Santos's husband and coach, you know, that's his brother. Even with him, like, it was a verbal agreement. For him, there should also be a contract. I don't care if it is a brother. I don't care if it is blood. Like, you never know what family's intentions are. I mean, right away, sometimes when people get rich or they make more money and you do make it, family's intentions are already about, this person's going to take care of me, or this person's got me, or I can just ask for anything. And they got me all the while they didn't even do any work. Some of them weren't even around when that person laid it down. You know what I mean? Like I said, this might not be the same situation, but it could be where it's like her brother-in-law. Yeah, he's a brown belt. But at the same time, it's like, okay. Her husband said, he's probably thinking, oh, this is my brother. You know, I'm going to help him out, give him a job. He's you know, driving Lyft or driving Uber, whatever. Well, I'm going to give him a job. But at the same time, just to make sure he gets what he's asking for and make sure he gets paid, this is how both of them need to think. They need to say, okay, well, let's draw up a contract. But I know sometimes family, they think, okay, we can overlook that. We can automatically trust that person. But believe me, you can't. You can't always do that. You know, especially when it's coming down to you actually training somebody to get better as a fighter. You're actually helping them to get better and move up in the business of the UFC. So you just can't say, okay, we agreed to that verbally. No, on his part too, he should know that, hey, I got to make sure I sign something to get my money. Because let's see, in this contract, it said Farias, he said he was invited to coach Santos and set up to make 3% of her upcoming purses and eventually sponsorship deals, plus reimbursement for expenses after moving to a different city, but wasn't paid after 3 months. Dang, okay. So all of that was in his police report. He has filed a police report for embezzlement against his brother and Tyler Santos. So was all of that in a contract though? Because I know there was a verbal agreement above where it says the train, but like, was all of this included in somewhere, you know? So even on his end, if he was right, he needs to make sure that he's covered. But if Santos is saying one thing, well, you got to make sure that you're covered on this side. So it's just crazy, man. I mean, I just wanted to read through it and kind of let y'all put it together, because there's always, you know, something that's not being told here. And it was like the same way I always think too. Shout out to Strayer, you know, he take the took the words right out of my mouth. He said, one of my subscribers, he said, you know, there's three sides to the story. You know, there's Santos, the team, and the truth, right? So you take that and take that however you want to run with. Take that and run with it, you know, however you want to. Just put it together. But like I said, the main advice here is to know what you're signing up for. You know, get you a translator, get you an attorney. Make sure everything is covered, is understood before you sign your life away. And as far as the family dealings, you know, like I said, you always have to make sure that it's nothing personal, but this is business. This is business, bro. You got to sign this contract, right? If you only tight like that, tight like that, even if you are tight like that, you can't be taken advantage of. Because like I said, if they weren't there with you in the beginning and then they want to hand out later, you got to make them work for it. You still got to make them work for it to a certain extent. I know Kevin Hart, he once said that when he has people come around, he actually doesn't give them jobs, like family members or something. He'll give them like a good amount of money, like a large amount of money or a good amount of money that can help them out, and say, that's for you. Whatever you want to do with it, do it, but you ain't coming back anymore. No more handouts. So do what you will with that money. Like, let's say $50,000. Take this $50,000. That's for you. Whatever you do with it, that's on you. But he don't give them jobs. He don't give them jobs because he was thinking, like, you know, he was thinking to himself that, you know what? I already know how this person is, how they work. Yeah, I love them as a family member, but can they really help me? Are they really out to help me? No, they might not be, right? So you can't always take that chance. I know you mean well, but hey, that's probably the best situation. So yeah, man, I think that's pretty much all I got for this episode, y'all. Like I said, I just wanted to kind of talk about a few different things here. You know, we talked about, what did we talk about? Angela Hill a little bit being a finisher. Yasmin Arigi, Yasmin Lucindo, give me your thoughts on that fight. And just anything else y'all want to comment in the comment section about these particular fights this past weekend. And like I said, go back and listen to this segment. The tough dropped the ball. In my mind, they did. They did. And Rose Valentina, that's not going to happen because a Rose can't stop a bullet. And Tyler Santos, hey, you got to wisen up on your business skills. Or like I said, just be honest with people. Pay your team if that's the deal and move on, right? Because it seems like the team is switching up now. I know she used to train Marina Rodriguez. Word is, I don't think her and Marina follow each other on IG anymore. So it might be getting deep. Might be getting deep, y'all. But yeah, man, by the time I put this episode out, let me see, I'll be doing another live stream with y'all. And we'll be talking about these fights this coming weekend. Who's fighting this weekend? Lucy Putulova and Wu Yanan, Miranda Maverick, and Shannon Young, which is kind of, yeah, it's a rematch, right? But they're Invicta days. So we'll talk about that tomorrow, y'all. Like always, make sure y'all subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to this show, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and tuned in. And yeah, be back with another episode soon. About to hit 100 episodes pretty soon. So yeah, that's all I got on this one, guys. So let's go ahead and get this thing wrapped up. Just closing some stuff out. There we go. And like always, y'all, Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.